Welcome back, father lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at Pemberton's, the best damn How I Met Your Father podcast on the internet. I am one of your hosts, Josh, here with my best bud, John. How you doing, man?
I'm doing about as good as a bowl of fruit on the first day home.
All right. Yeah, it hasn't gotten all rotted and covered in flies yet. There you go.
I was going to say untouched, unused, and completely here for anybody. Boom.
Boom. There it is, folks. There it is. All right. So we are here for season 2, episode 9 of How I Met Your Father, The Welcome Protocol. I mean, if you wanted that, John, all you had to do was ask. See, that's all.
You know what? Do it again.
We're going to do it again. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, buddy.
Right, folks, we got fun special things here.
Let's do it. Let's light it up again. Oh, I'm kidding.
Damn. Okay. We're just having a blast here, folks. You see it. You know
it. That's what we do here at Pemberton's.
That's right.
We're here to fuck shit up.
We are here to fuck some crazy ass shit up. And now we're here to talk about the Welcome Protocol.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So this episode aired on March 21st of 2023. Was directed yet again by Phil Lewis, man.
Yeah, Hooch!
Yeah, Hooch is goddamn crazy. This is his now third episode directing and second in a row, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, so. Go Phil.
That's right. And it was written by Rhea Sardana, who is a staff and story writer for the entire series. They've been on the series since the beginning, but this is their first episode as actually the main writer. They previously wrote on Awkwafina is Nora from Queens and Fresh Off the Boat. Yeah.
Okay.
I've watched, I think, like an episode of Fresh Off the Boat, but other than that, not really anything else.
I can't say that I've seen either of those shows.
Yeah. I like Awkwafina, though, as an actress. She's cool.
I like Awkwafina as a drink.
I mean, I'm sure you do. Do you know who Awkwafina is?
Nope.
Okay. Something that I know that you would know her from, Shang-Chi. She is his friend.
Oh, she's the comedian girl.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I absolutely know who she is.
Yeah.
I didn't know her name, but yeah, when you say that, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. That's Awkwafina. There you go, folks. Now you know. Now you know. I'm going to put the little PSA thing across. Dun, 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 dun.
Knowledge is power.
Go ahead.
I was going to get off on a tangent. So,
little G.I. Joe action?
No, I was going to do the, or if knowledge is power, then a god am I.
There you go.
Batman
there
forever.
You go. There you go. So, the summary for this episode. Vale brings Sophie to a work event so they can party all night with rich and famous people. Jesse wants to introduce the friends to a new girl he's seeing, forcing them to spring into action and invoke the Welcome Protocol.
Okay. Yeah. Decent synopsis.
Yeah, pretty simple. Okay, so I think this is the first episode that doesn't start with future Sophie talking.
I think you're correct.
Yeah. Because it threw me off. We've seen that happen in How I Met Your Mother. But we've watched that show so many times, it doesn't phase when it happens. This is the first time that this has happened. And I was like, wait a minute, where's future Sophie? They just
completely love that it's kind of weird, too, because they're doing push-ups. Mm-hmm. Something you don't typically see the group doing.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a contest, you know, to see who would go with Vale. And freaking, dude, Sophie smoked their asses.
Dude, she's doing
one-handed push-ups while they're all doing normal ones. She's over here just fucking wrecking them. I thought that was awesome.
Volunteering myself is tribute to get wrecked.
I mean, she is like Hillary Duff is muscular. I mean, she we is. see we see her later on with not a lot on, and she's got some crazy muscle tone going on.
Dude, she's got an amazing muscle tone.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, damn. I was like, she looks phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. This is what happens when you don't do a bunch of meth when you're, you know, young. I mean, she's one of the few.
You hear that, Miley? You could look like that.
She's one of the few child stars that did not fall down some crazy dark path.
Yeah. That is true. She didn't pull an Amanda Bynes or a Britney Spears or a Hannah Montana or Drake Bell.
I love that you say Hannah Montana. It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Jeanette McMurray.
I don't know who that one is.
I'm still going down my list of people who've fallen down weird rabbit
holes. I don't know who that last one is.
You ever seen iCarly?
No, I mean, I know of the show, but I've never seen it. No. I think those were past my time.
They were more of like our younger sibling stuff.
Yeah.
But she was in that catch on Nickelodeon shows where that guy would, like, he had like the foot fetish and the weird things, and like she's one of the few who got treated like really weird.
Oh, okay.
Like,
interesting.
Ariana Grande was in that like little group of people, but she didn't fall down that rabbit hole.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Did not know who that was.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But yes, so Sophie wins this little contest that they're doing.
For a tag along to Flubber.
Yeah, specifically to the premiere party for Flubber the Musical. I thought it was just for the musical, but then on my second watch, she specifically says it's a plus one to the premiere party.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they actually go and see it at all, or if it's just a party, like celebrating that it's coming out. I don't know.
But I thought it was kind of funny that they're really making a thing of this Flubber the Musical.
Yeah, I put in my notes. I was like, I love that they brought this back. I thought that was great.
I really hope we get to see a little bit more from it, or somebody like releases like a little Flubber.
Yeah, I hope that they at some point they go to the show and we get to see another clip of it.
Like I hate to parallel to something that's completely out of the normal for like How I Met Your Mother, How I Met Your Father, but like I wish they do like kind of like an MCU thing where like we get to see a little bit of like Avengers the Musical.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That, and like the end of the episode is just like, here's 3 minutes of this.
Yeah.
Of this
like here's play. Like two or three minutes of the play, and like doesn't have to be anything huge, but like, yeah. I could do this all day.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, we did get to hear a song from it, so that was cool.
Correct.
So Vale is working with the star of Flubber the Musical, and she is played by none other than Wendy Malick. I love Wendy Malick. She's awesome.
And it's weird because I saw her and I'm instantly like, I know her. And I can't put my finger on why.
Okay, so of course. Did you look her up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
what do you know her from?
The Ranch.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she plays the lady who buys out the farm.
Yeah.
She
was also she was in Hot in Cleveland, which I watched. She's in Young Sheldon, which I currently watch.
Oh, okay.
I think, honestly, she's probably most famous on Just Shoot Me. I don't know if you remember that show. Had David Spade on it back in the day.
I never really watched it. She's also in it's a very short scene for her, but she's also in Waiting. She plays Justin Long's mother when they go
Oh, my
to...
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in so much, man. She's in so much stuff. She's great. So it was a cool surprise seeing her pop up in this.
Well, like I said, as soon as I saw her, I was like, I know her from something. I just couldn't put my finger on it. But yeah, the moment I did, I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, we're in for a treat.
And she's playing this real bitchy kind of character. She reminds me of like her, of Vale's boss. It's like that type of character. Just such a douchebag, you know, to everyone around them, you know. And she plays it so well.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Because for the first part of the episode, like, I really hated her.
Yeah. And she's not the only guest star we get in this episode.
No.
We get a nice little pop in there from John Corbett. For those of you who know who he is, he's in a lot of random stuff here and there. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, he's in. He's from Sex and the City. But this is not his first time with Hilary Duff in something, as he played her teacher in the movie Raise Your Voice from 2004.
Oh my God, he does.
Yeah.
I wonder how that had to be kissing her then.
I know. I had to be a little weird, right? Right?
Like oh man, remember that time we worked together and you were like completely underage and now I'm going to kiss you? Like, oh man, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And,
oh, that is so weird.
And I know that we have talked about this a few times over the last few episodes about how they've already revealed that she is going to be dating somebody and that she's going to be dating somebody that she thinks is her father at some point.
Well, he's also in the trailer for the season. He's in the season trailer, you know. So we knew he was coming at some point. We just didn't know when.
Yeah.
You called it, though, during the last recording of episode 8. You said you thought he was going to show up probably like within the next few. And you, if I had to, probably the next one. And I was like, okay. And then boom, here he is.
Here he is. Yeah.
I will say overall, before we start talking about story, I don't know about you so much, but I felt that this episode was like quintessential How I Met Your Mother. Like this episode completely felt like it was like cut and paste, and not in a bad way.
No, yeah, absolutely. There were a couple of different things that I put in my notes that were like, this feels like this from How I Met Your Mother, and this feels like this. You know what I mean? So I absolutely agree with that. I think it's very, they're leaning more so into that, which I like, because I want to feel that feeling again that we got from the original show, you know? And so I like, because they're not, it's not like they're leaning on past characters, you know? They're just,
no, I was going to say, just, they're doing really good at not relying on the established characters, but they're doing very good at using the, I'm going to say the guideline guardrail. It's like a walker, it's essentially, of like, hey, it's a safety net.
Yeah. Yeah, they're leaning on the classic tropes of that show. And it's wonderful to see it when it pops up. Cuz it floods you with those memories of the old show. And
oh, absolutely. While still having its own voice and finding its own story.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one breaks down pretty much into two separate stories. We got Sophie and Vale, which Sophie and Vale's technically branches off toward the end of their story into their each having their own thing going on. And then we got the rest of the gang doing their thing.
I want to talk about the rest of the gang and the actual welcome protocol first.
Okay.
Because I love overall, first off, that the welcome call is essentially Marsh Gammon, but in like its own setup, broken down version. Because Marshall used Marsh Gammon as a way to feel out people, essentially to start.
I get what you mean by that. Yeah.
But they essentially like each have their own role and know exactly what they're supposed to do. And I'm like, I wonder how it works, though, when it's different people doing different things.
I mean, like, as we see with what goes on, most of them kind of lean in toward what they typically do. Like, Charlie was still the human fodder. Sid was still the hype man.
True.
And Ellen was like, well, Vale and Sophie aren't here, so I have to take over for them. Meaning that if they were there, they would have probably still been the giggler in the bathroom bestie.
And Jesse's a hype man when it's not
him. So the fact that, the fact that Jesse was the one not mixed within it was fine because he's part of a two-man team, typically.
I wonder what would happen if it was Ellen then, because like she's the laugh at everything.
No, because Sophie's the giggler.
Or you're right, no, Sophie's the giggler.
Because they show us when it's Ellen, because they show you're us the stuff with Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know, like, in any other situation, what would Ellen's role be?
Yeah.
Because if she felt like she didn't have a role, you know what I mean? So, like, that's what I would want to know. What would have, like, if Charlie were to bring somebody in, what would Ellen's role be? Like, we didn't really get, like, if Vale and Sophie were there, what would Ellen's role have been? I don't know.
Maybe Ellen would replace Charlie. Maybe she's like a Jack in the Box.
Maybe. I think for this situation, she would have, I mean, since it was Jesse, I think she's just like the floater at this point. I think she should probably just replace whoever is out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why it made sense that she would take on both roles. Because she's like I said, she's the floater. But if they had both been there, I feel like she probably would have been a hype man. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's fair.
Because she would have taken Jesse's spot.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense. I think that makes the most sense. But they don't dive into that at all. So
I love how Jesse kind of just shows up and he like throws it at them like immediately too. And he's like, you know, like, hey, so I've been talking to this girl and
this is Dana, the girl he matched with at the end of the last episode.
Yeah.
I went back and double checked it. Like I went back and watched the end to make sure that was the name. Pops up because that's the ding that he gets when he's there with Sophie at the end. It's Dana. So this is that girl. And it's only been a couple of days.
Yeah, it's only been a couple of days. And I love how he's like, I'm going to welcome protocol. And everybody's like, oh, no. You can't just welcome protocol. Like, there's you know, things for this.
They've got rules, you know. They don't invoke it for anybody who less than 2 weeks, I think, is what they said.
Yeah. They use 2 weeks as a bare minimum.
Yeah. So,
which I can agree with that because in 2 weeks, you can definitely feel someone out.
Yeah. I agree with that. So, you said that you felt like this was like their marsh gammon in how it helps them to feel people out.
Yes.
Which I hadn't thought about that. What I thought when they first started talking about it, I was like, this feels like a play, like a Barney play. You know, even the way they show the audience, you know, cards and stuff, you know what I mean, when they show the you know, each person on the card with their name, you know, all this stuff, it felt like something we'd see from like the playbook, you know, that kind of a thing.
That's fair. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah. And then when they start talking about the rules and why they shouldn't do it, all that made me think of was Lily not wanting Ted to bring dates to special events.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's all I could think about when it came to that.
Well, see, that one, I instantly got that feel too, where it's like, name that slut. Because, you know, like, so many girls have ruined special events because of different things. And I'm like, that one makes sense to me. I'm like, but at the same time, like, you could essentially say he's trying to lemon law this girl, but like,
yeah,
again, I'm hanging on tropes of How I Met Your Mother. Like, I really like that they have this welcome protocol though, is it gives everybody a chance
I don't think that was Jesse's intention with it, obviously, because he seemed at the beginning he really liked this girl, but it is the whole thing. Their whole part is a combination of all these things from that we've seen before, and How I Met Your Mother, with the playbook, with the Who's the Slut or whatever the fuck it was called. Yeah. And then yeah, Lemon Law, essentially, that's what he is kind of doing by enacting the fake excuse or whatever, the fake emergency thing.
When that happens too, I'm like, because like I could tell her was like legit because like the girl walks in and she's like, you know, it's your grandma, and she's like, yeah. Oh, and I'm like, oh, hers isn't fake, like, yeah. Shit. And then like Jesse's like, we'll get to that, but
yeah, we will. So yeah, so Dana shows up and they roll out the welcome protocol, and dude, everybody loves her. I love that.
Everybody loves her, man. She's got a way to connect with everybody. She makes Charlie feel like he's actually like seen and included. Mm-hmm. And Ellen, mm-hmm. she takes part of Ellen's interests, which I thought was actually cool because like, you know, Ellen's got the whole potato thing. It's like, how do you work that into conversations that doesn't feel stupid? And she does. She's like, yeah, we all just know that those are just russets being there, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And Ellen's like,
my favorite is with Sid.
Yes.
Where she notices the bottle with the tuxedo, the Jack bottle with the tuxedo.
I noticed that bottle up there a few times. Yeah. And I didn't realize that it was a bottle of Jack to start. Yeah. And I don't even think if I had recognized that it was a bottle of Jack, if I would have gotten the red coat reference to the show.
I have to go back now because I want to know how long that thing has been there.
I'm pretty sure it's been there the whole time.
It's not something I noticed until sometime this season. I remember like just kind of seeing it and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, but didn't really think anything of it. And then I went back to the previous episode just to be sure. Like, I was like, is it still there? And it was definitely there in the last episode. And so I want to go back. I want to go back to like the pilot episode and see if it's there. Cause that's some insane planning. If so, like that's wild to me.
Yeah. It's kind of like the traffic light in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
You don't really pay attention to it, but it's there.
Yeah. So, I love that because it's just, and it was a movie reference, so it made me happy.
Well, and it's a great movie reference, man. The Shining is a classic.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
But I love that they all get this moment where like they all get to have their moment with her. Mm-hmm. And then they're all like,
and I was like, oh, I like this girl too. It's like, maybe this will be Jesse's chance to move forward with something for a while. And we'll get this new cool character that we'll like for a while.
Sucker.
Yeah, no, they did, man. They suckered me in. And
cause as soon as like everybody's got that feeling and the whole group is like, Jesse, we really like this girl. He's like, yeah, I'm really sorry. Welcome protocol. I don't like her.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. Yeah, I'm just like,
I'm not feeling what? It.
And they don't really explain. Not really. They don't explain what made him feel that way at all.
Nope.
You know, and
I mean, honestly, I didn't think they would, but I'm like, damn. I'm like, that sucks. Because, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know,
and he acts like a complete douchebag in this.
Well, especially after this whole little part, you know, like he's like, I don't think this is gonna work. I've got to find a way to break it off. And then, you know, as they're dealing with like the other side of the story for a little bit, they go back to the bar, and Ellen's calling him. His phone rings, and he's like, "Hey, mom." He says to her, it's his mom. He's got to take the call.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then you flash over to Ellen and she's the one calling him. And I'm like, oh, man. It reminds me of that one episode of How I Met Your Mother where Barney's talking to the one girl and Robin calls him. And she's like, you know, mama's got a itch. And he's like, oh, no, why would he do that? But yeah. And then I'm like, damn though, man. Like this girl was being super nice to him. The group liked him or her. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then of course, like I said, her friend walks in. It's like, hey, your grandma.
It's her sister.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was her sister, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they're like, it's grandma. And then Jesse's like, oh, look at you being all funny. We're both not feeling this and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you were faking it? And I'm like, oh, busted, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wasn't. It was legit. Now,
I got to admit, I think it would be hilarious if, like, down the road, they meet back up or something, and she admits that she did fake it.
I mean, that would be funny, but, I mean, at least the way it was played off in this episode, Jesse looks like a complete dick.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm like...
I mean, even if she was faking it, he was still more of a dick.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, he could have just, instead of trying to call her out on it, right? Because, I mean, he was literally just doing it too. So instead of trying to call her out and like shaming her for what he's doing, he could have just went along with it and said goodbye and been done with it.
Yeah.
We wiped his hands and been done.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah. You know, and he didn't. And that's what made him, as she says, an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which makes me laugh because they use the word asshole here. And then, like, there, because, like, they clearly have to censor certain words because, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But instead of saying, like, because I think they bleep motherfucker is what Sophie
goes to say. Yeah, you get mother beep. Yeah.
Like, they could have went with a completely different route and still had something swear word in there at least, and like made it something more like not bleeped.
I mean, they've done that many times though. They have.
I know. It just,
yeah.
I don't know. Because Val gets bleeped too.
Yeah. Oh, because they both say it. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then that whole side of the story, like the whole Val and Sophie thing, going to the party. And Val
beats, well, we didn't finish. We didn't finish fair, what we have over fair. Here. We learned some stuff at the end. Ellen talks with Jesse about, you know, what's going on. And he admits that he tried rushing things with Dana so he could get over Sophie. And he realizes they still have a spark. And Ellen convinces him to go for it.
Well, yeah, I mean,
right at the same moment that something else is going on.
Yeah, and but I mean, he missed his opportunity big in the last episode.
Oh, no, absolutely. And all it made me think of was last season's finale with Robin. Timing's a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and think about it, because this is clearly like to mirror with How I Met Your Mother, this is kind of like when Robin and Barney were doing their thing, and there was the whole Nora and Kevin. And then, you know, Barney breaks up with Nora, but Robin doesn't break up with Kevin.
Yeah.
And it's like, fucking, again, timing. Timing is a bitch.
Timing's a bitch.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
It just, like, it fucking sucks.
I saw, like, that moment with him and Ellen, that realization that he has it. He's going to try now. You know, he's finally going to go for it. And then we get that flip. Which we'll get to in a minute when we talk about through all that stuff, but like, it, like my heart broke for him in that moment, you know, because he's finally realizing what he wants, and it might be too late, you know, who knows, man, but yeah, so now we can get into the Sophie and Vale stuff.
I mean, their storyline was fun. This episode.
It was fun.
It's like, I feel bad at the same time, though, because Vale's dealing with her own shit right now, where she feels like she's not measuring up as whatever she's supposed to be. I don't actually know her actual job title, but whatever she's doing. I think
they called her a junior stylist was what the promotion was. Fair. So she dresses famous people, you know, for events and stuff.
Yeah,
that's what she does.
So let's start with that. I feel really bad that she spent, like, she said she spent the better part of a night trying to find this woman a dress.
Yeah, she says she rejected like 200 dresses.
200 dresses.
What the fuck?
To find this one. Yeah. And then because she forgot to tell the stylist not to let anybody else wear it, two other people show up to this gala wearing the same dress. And I'm like, first off, if she's a celebrity, where did Joe Schmo get the fucking money to get a dress like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's just number one.
Yeah.
For two people to show up, though, besides her wearing that dress, that's just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
That barely even happens on the red carpet, let alone at some fucking random-ass gala event where, like, we're going to have Flubber the Musical.
But it makes it funny.
It does. But it also really works out for her best interest in the end of the episode, though, as well.
Yeah, no, it does. Absolutely.
But so I love that they have a game plan when they get there. Val's going to go for the drinks. Sophie's going to go for food.
Yeah.
And they break immediately.
And Sophie heads straight for that food. And she knows, like, she's ready. And I'm like, that's my kind of girl right there.
Well, I love that she also has a game plan, though. She knows that if she can't carry everything, use her mouth.
We learn later on that she doesn't only use her mouth. Because she tucked some shit into her dress in a napkin.
Whitetail. She tucked whitetail into her dress.
Some pocket whitetail or whatever. Yeah. Yellowtail. Yep. Some pocket yellowtail. Yeah.
I was like, whitetail doesn't sound right.
It's like, when did she put that in there?
And I wondered that same thing, but I wasn't really. I love that she is getting the food, has an argument about ranch dressing.
Yeah.
I'm like, nothing she picked up for the first plate. Like, she doesn't have any, like, vegetables or, like, any kind of.
I think all she put on there was the yellowtail crudo.
The yellowtail.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, there's not, like, any broccoli or carrots or anything on there that, like, you might want to dip ranch in. And I have to agree with the cook on this one. I'm not 100% sure that I'd be putting ranch dressing on yellowtail.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fish person, so.
Neither am I, but I can't imagine ranch just seems weird.
So let me ask you this. What were your initial thoughts and feelings about Robert?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't hate him.
Really?
But
I didn't hate him, but I didn't like him at first, though, either.
I thought he was the snooty chef. Like, he kind of reminded me of a more modern version of the soup Nazi.
Okay. I think oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead first.
I was just going to say, I think they did a good job of making the audience feel like Sophie. Because she didn't like him at first either. And he grows on her, obviously. And they did that for us as well. And I thought, I was like, I exactly understand how she's feeling right now.
Well, the only reason I said soup Nazi is because I finally have seen that episode in its entirety. So I kind of know more about like what he was about. But at the same time, I'm like, as a former cook, I know where every once in a while making a recommendation is like your thing. And you get to be that way where you're like, hey, this is my food. Don't fuck with what I cooked. And
Maybe he should be like, hey, maybe you should try a little bit of this sauce on there. Instead of grabbing her plate and like hiding it from her and shit.
I mean, that was dickish, yes. Yeah. And I thought that was like, especially when he like holds it above her head, I'm like, what is this, fucking kindergarten?
Yeah, right? I mean, the only thing I can think of is it's just that's how he flirts with people. You know, because, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Guilty.
For those of you on the audio side, John just raised his hand. Yes.
All I'm saying is maybe that's why I didn't hate him as much as you did, because I get it.
Maybe. Maybe you're like, I can connect with this man.
I mean, I did piss somebody off one time by stealing their purse and running away, if you remember correctly.
That's fair. so we have that happen, you know, Sophie's, you know, trying to get some food and he squirts some random, I don't even know what it was. It was something like brown or black in a bottle. Like, I don't know.
I was going to say, I'm assuming it was some kind balsamic. Of like, yeah, that's what I was assuming. Or maybe a barbecue-ish.
I don't know, with fish. I think it's probably like some sort of balsamic thing.
Probably.
Honestly, I don't know.
But yeah, so she goes over and meets up with Val, who's got these flubber drinks.
Flubtinis. And they look gross, dude. They are
my thick. Instant thought process was it looked like it was pudding with Jell-O.
Yeah, they're thick. And I'm like, I feel like you need to eat that with a spoon. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, is like it some I said, sort of weird Jell-O-y my type thing?
In reaction to that drink was it looked like pudding with like Jell-O. It looked like they like put Jell-O down and then like pudding around it to try to make this like weird concoction-y drink. But
maybe.
I don't know what it's supposed to be besides a teeny.
Yeah.
It's definitely no apple teeny.
It's no apple teeny, sir. No apple teeny. But yeah, the flub teeny.
The flub teeny.
The flub teeny. And yes, this is where they spot the first woman wearing the same dress. And we also get the pocket yellowtail in this scene.
Yep.
Which I thought was great.
I thought that was really cool though. Pocket yellowtail.
Yeah. Swoop. And it's already wrapped up. It's like, where did you get this? And we learn that Sophie has a singing Garfield tattoo.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, they have to show us that now at some point. We have to see it. Like,
well, that means it's in a place though where they might not be able to show it.
Well, they could do a close up where it's just like the skin, true. Like so you don't know what part it is. Like theoretically, they could.
You're not wrong.
So, but I gotta see that, it's not man. It honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. be surprised. But yeah, so they come up with this plan to. Try to get this woman to. I originally thought it was that they were going to have her like change, like what they do with the second person, but they just spill stuff on her. And it felt almost like they didn't have a fully thought out plan because she's just like, here, take my duster. I don't know if that, if it didn't feel like they knew what they were doing in that moment.
No,
I don't know.
It didn't because I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, it's not like people bring backup clothes to those things usually. So you're like, you just ruined this person's dress. I thought she would leave. But yeah, then they're just like, oh, here, put my duster on. And I'm like, first off, that girl wasn't even the same size as Sophie. That coat shouldn't have fit her.
Yeah, I mean, could have just been a big coat or whatever.
I'm assuming because, it wrapped around her fine and stuff. So
yeah. We do get a little extra scene with Sophie and Robert when she's getting the sauce or whatever the fuck it is. Even though it didn't, when they spill it on her, it doesn't look liquidy at all.
No, it really didn't.
Because like, but that she's, was like she's able to just kind of brush most of it off.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know what kind of sauce this was, but
well, he said it was a pesto, like a pesto basil. But I'm like, I don't understand,
just didn't seem like a sauce. I don't know.
Again, weird chef shit.
Yeah, very, very weird.
But I like how he belittled her, and he's like, you know that's not a soup, right? Yeah. And I was like, first off, dude, what if she was getting it for that yellowtail that you clearly, like, fucking belittled her for wanting?
Right?
Like, but fuck, man. Like, so it's she like, can't... She...
Maybe she's the kind of girl... who would sit there with a bowl of ranch dressing and eat it like a soup? Who are you to judge, sir?
Oh, all I can think of is that new fucking ranch ice cream.
Oh, hell no. No, thank you, man. I watched Stephen Colbert try it on air, and he was like, no, he couldn't do it.
Every person that I've seen try it so far has been like, and the one person that I thought was really funny, and then I bitched, because they're not from... Western New York at all. So they're from the Midwest somewhere. And I follow them on YouTube and she's like, oh mom, look, we bought the new ranch ice cream. And she was making this like sundae and it was like ranch ice cream. She had a couple of other things in there, and her mom's like, you know that's not going to taste good. She's like, well, I've got a backup plan just in case it doesn't taste good. And her mom's like, okay, well, I can't wait to see this. And, of course, she tries the sundae, and it's she's like, ugh. And then she fucking chicken wing into the frame and dunks a chicken wing into the fucking thing, and she bites it, and she goes, now that tastes right. And I'm like, you do not eat ranch with chicken wings.
No, man. Blue cheese. Give me that blue cheese. Get out otherwise. It's blue probably going to lose half of our audience. We're probably going to lose half of our audience for that statement alone. They're going to be like, fuck you, assholes. Ranch all the way. Block. Well, okay. Listen, sorry.
Come to Buffalo, New York. We will go to Duff's and we will settle this like Buffalonians.
There it is. That's an open invitation, folks. Open invitation. But you got to pay. We can't afford
it. we'll do it as a tax write-off.
There we go. All right. And so, like, they take care of this first woman. And they're like, oh, okay. Crisis averted. Nope. Because then there's another one. And how has Daphne not spotted either of these two women? She's literally bouncing all over the place throughout this party, and she's not seeing either. That's something
I wanted to bring up, too, because she doesn't notice them the entire party. And then when she does finally notice them, she shouldn't have. And I'm going to bring that up here because
I think the only reason she notices them when she does is because they're being loud and being like, oh, my God, we're matching. And so it probably caught her attention to look. You know what I mean? Because how loud they're being.
That's not what I'm talking about, though. That probably caught her attention. But the way that at least two of them are standing, she shouldn't have seen one of the girls' dress because she was still wearing the duster over the dress. And the way that woman was turned...
When the second lady was talking or whatever, she's like, oh, you know, I have the same dress as this famous lady. The first lady turns and she undoes the coat and opens it.
Yeah,
and she's
like,
me too.
But she was turned enough that that lady shouldn't have seen her from where she was standing.
But the thing is, she probably saw the one lady came over and saw the other lady.
I mean, maybe. I mean, because that might be. But
she didn't need to see both of them to get mad about it in the first place.
True.
And just storm over. But by the time she got there, she would have seen both of them and then been more pissed about it.
I personally think she overreacted to that anyway. That's not Valentina's absolute
We fault. Did see her smash a dude's camera earlier.
You're not wrong.
Like, I feel like her whole thing is overreacting to stuff.
Well, it's funny because she did that. And the only thing I thought of when she did that was Austin Powers doing his like his photo shoot. And he's like, I'm spent.
Yeah.
But no, she just fucking
yeah.
I was like, damn.
But yeah, so they see this second woman, and so they do the plan again. You know, they're like, okay, get more of this stuff, spill it on her. But she doesn't care.
No,
like she doesn't care that they she already spilled twice, I think she said.
Yeah, she said twice. And I'm like, first off, how are you spilling on yourself and not giving a shit?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my God. She sounds like me. I spill stuff on myself all the time.
I mean, that's why I don't wear anything nice when I go out usually, because I have a bad time with it myself.
Yeah, I've definitely ruined a tie before.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. I was on a date once. I dressed up really nice for the date. And I remember I had wore a white button-up. And for some reason... got some kind of pasta or it was definitely red sauce. And I'm doing the fork, twirl, spoon, and then here it goes, and then it just goes. And I was like,
oh no. Just slid right off.
There was no saving it.
Oh man.
I was like, well, okay, well, that happened.
Oh yeah, dude. I've ruined many a shirt. That's why anytime I'm eating something messy, like I'll just throw on like a shirt I don't give a crap about a lot of times. I've done that so many times.
Fair. And, I'm not gonna lie, I've definitely done the especially since then, I'll do the napkin tuck into my shirt. I'm like, fuck it. I don't care if I look like an idiot. I'm not getting shit on me.
Dude, man, Barney had the right idea with the bro bib.
The bro bib, man. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, babies aren't the only people who spill shit on themselves, man.
Nope. And they're not the only ones who want a bottle at 8 p.m.
There it is. Or 8 a.m.
Listen, if you want a bottle at 8 a.m., we might have to have a different conversation.
I didn't say I did, but there's people, I'm sure.
Oh, shit.
So, because, you know, Sophie only had one duster, they have to come up with another plan.
Yeah, they're going to try to give her Sophie's dress.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Sophie because now she's in like a fucking pantry and she's got her fucking dress off, but she's wearing like this whole, like, the only thing I can compare it to is a wrestling singlet. Because that's what it kind of looks
it's,
like.
It's like a, I think they call them like a shaper or something like that.
She doesn't need one though. She's so hot.
It's just a thing. It's almost like what they, you know, how like back in the day they would use like slips.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of like that. Like people prefer those now. They're probably more comfortable. Keeps everything probably together, you know.
I mean, shit. I remember back when I used to wear my singlet, man. It's comfortable for being a fucking skin tight piece of latex.
Yeah. And like we said before, she got some insane muscle tone in this scene. Like
the muscle tone, the definition, and the
like. I remember recently she was on the cover of some magazine. They did like a photo shoot with her or whatever. And I thought that same. I was like, Jesus, like she's worked out like crazy, and like she's in some insane
all
shape.
The time, man. Like,
yeah,
I see her on like photo things all the time where like paparazzi get shots of her. She's constantly in like leggings and jeggings, and like she's always on the go. Like, it doesn't shock me.
Yeah. So here's my question, John. The shaper or the yoga outfit? Just got to ask because it's come up a couple of times, the yoga thing.
Okay. Well, I will say this. This is the pervy side of me. Did you see the thigh gap in the shaper?
I mean,
that was some definitive thigh gap, man. That was Grand Canyon of thigh gap. But she looks hella good in her yoga gear. It's so true. I'm going to go yoga gear.
That's fair. That's fair. I think I would go with this one personally. That's just me.
Really?
You know. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Something about her in those yoga pants, like those high-waisted yoga pants and a sports bra, I'd melt for her any day.
There it is, folks. There it is. He
and
would
Josh
walk
is going for the shaper.
He would walk 500 miles, and then he would walk 500 more. So at this point, this is where the story splits into two.
Yeah.
Because we don't actually ever see Vale and Sophie back together for the rest of the episode.
No.
So we got Vale goes off and deals with Daphne, and then we get Sophie and Robert, and they're both kind of short stories. Like the rest of their stories are kind of short.
Yeah, yeah. The rest of it's short.
Yeah. So which one do you actually want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Vale. We'll end on Sophie.
Okay.
But yeah, so Vale brings
brings the dress out, and this is when Daphne finds out everything. This is when Daphne spots the two women, and gets fucking furious with Vale about it, and threatens to ruin her career. Like, it's insane.
Like, which is this a total calm down bitch moment. Like, literally,
right? It's like, take it, breath.
There's no reason to be that fucking shitty towards somebody,
right? Yeah.
So I was just kind of like, at this point, I'm like, oh great, fucking Karen, awesome.
Yeah.
But it turns out that she's just having a bad time, and she's dealing with some bad publicity, and she doesn't.
Yeah.
Like it.
Well, it's like she's afraid that her career is essentially ending because she's stuck doing this family musical, like this thing that she never would have done any, you know, before. And because of her reputation, she may not, this may be her last chance, you know, because they don't see her as a woman of the people is what she says.
I mean, the way she was acting, she definitely wasn't being a woman of the people.
No, not at all.
But Vale I think, says to her,
I think Vale's, Vale's experience with her boss really helps her here because she knows how to handle people like this.
Oh yeah,
you know. So,
I've been on this YouTube dive lately of watching Karen videos where like people get like caught in public and like they just make
me far too angry to watch.
So I understand. I'll say it like this. I do understand sometimes why people go off because I lose my temper sometimes, but I try not to be a Kevin about it. I try to be more of like,
is that what the male version is?
Yeah. It's Kevin and Karen's.
Oh, okay.
So I'm always kind of like, this is why I'm calling you, or this is my problem. And then my worst one is when I'm on the phone with somebody with like customer service and I'm like, hey, could you please explain this to me? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, how do you not know? There's clearly a system in front of you. The system tells you this shit. How can you not figure out your fucking job? Well, did you go online? Yes, I went online, and I'm telling you what online says, and you're online and isn't correct. So I'm telling you this needs to be updated. Oh, well, and I'm like, I become a Kevin because you're stupid and you're not doing your job. And it's literally affected stuff before where people don't do their jobs properly. So I'm like, oh, this instance with her boss, it's like, she's just a straight bitch who's having a rough time and doesn't think she's deserving of the placement that she's in. And I'm like, so maybe you need to hire like a personal assistant to be your like your public like image consultant.
Because a PR person.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say, like a PR person. Because clearly the way you want to be seen and the way you are seen you're missing something. And that's where Valentina steps in and is like, let me help you.
And she seems to understand. She seems to understand where her reputation comes from, but she also doesn't seem to like try to change that behavior.
No,
because like we said, she literally smashes a dude's camera. This is unnecessary to do. You know, it's like that. Well, that's a small thing that she could have just not done to help her image in that moment.
Yeah. Well, because she'd also brought up an instance where she had a bad time at Fiddler when she was in Fiddler? Something happened to her.
Yeah.
Fiddler, and she says to Val, don't look it up. And I'm like, don't tell people shit like that if you don't want it being out there. Because you tell me don't look it up, and as soon as you're out of my eyesight, my phone's in my hand, and I'm going to be like,
yep.
And then I'm sending it to you and five other people because I'm going to be like, y'all ain't going to believe this shit.
It's like Beercules.
Beercules! You will bow before me. But, I mean, that's prime example right there. That's the shit you don't want people getting out there, but it gets out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at least she agrees in the end to let Val help her. And then
Val has a great idea.
Yeah. And it works there, at least. She gets up on stage to give her speech and sing her song, and she brings the other two ladies up there to kind of, like, back her up a little bit.
Yeah, she, and I'm guessing, you know, to make light about it, you know, to show that she can have fun and poke fun at herself, even, you know. And so,
you have to poke fun at a situation like that. I saw it one time on the red carpet. It was, I don't remember who the second person was, but one of them was Jennifer Lawrence, and they were like, "Oh, you're wearing the same dress as somebody," and she was like, "Wait, what?" She wore it better, didn't she? And they were like, no, no, she took, oh, it was Shakira. It was Jennifer Lawrence Shakira. And Jennifer Lawrence was like, Shakira has to be wearing it better. She has that body. And they were like, no, no. And she's like, don't lie to me. It's okay. And I'm like,
dude, Jennifer Lawrence is hilarious. She is so awkward and funny and like as a person. It's ridiculous and I love it.
Remember the time she was fell going up the steps and like she was going to accept the award and she like tripped on dress or something. She just didn't live it down all night. She kept playing it up herself.
Oh yeah, man. Just you gotta like you said, man. you gotta do that. But and then Daphne sings a song from Flubber the Musical. Which I love because it plays through the credits too, which is cool. It's a good song, dude. I like it.
It was catchy. I will give it this that. Is the I want to see. Like,
we've talked about how there's all these songs from How I Met Your Mother, so much so that they've put out like an album of them. They're building an album worth of songs for this show. And I can't wait until we are able to get that. Yeah.
I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then on the other hand, you know, Sophie being in her little room gets rudely interrupted by Robert.
He just comes. I mean, it's his pantry. I mean, I can really,
say he rudely interrupts her. It is his pantry.
Yeah.
I love how like he walks in and like he turns around to me and she's like, turn around. He's like, I already turned around. Unless you want me to turn back around. She's like, no.
Yeah, they have some great banter in this episode. Even when he's being kind of a dick at the beginning, like their banter back and forth is great.
Oh yeah, dude, they don't miss a beat.
Yeah.
And then I love how like he clearly walks out and like they go do the Val thing, and when they come back, Sophie's standing in the kitchen with him and she's wearing a chef coat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aw, she looks really cute in an oversized chef coat. Because it reminded me of, like, it could have been, like, a straight jacket on her.
Oh. Yeah,
and then
sure.
I love how, like, he's clearly mixing something in a bowl, and, like, they don't tell you what it is.
And he has her help at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, stir this. I'm pretty sure he had her stir it because he knew what he was clearly making.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it was, I'm not going to lie, I thought he was making some kind of, like, whipped cream or, like, meringue.
Hmm.
I would have thought he was working on like a dessert.
The thought never crossed my mind that he was making what he was making.
No, but I really love that he made her some ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how he tasted it first. Like you see him like taste it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, taste that. And she's like, and then she's like, oh, it's ranch. And I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And I love how she's like.
Then he makes a bunch of different ones. He makes like a spicy ranch and some other kind of ranch and then a cool ranch.
Yeah, he's like a Doritos style cool ranch.
Yeah.
I love how she's like, is this your thing? Do you make dipping sauces with all the girls that are half dressed in your
pantry?
She doesn't call it pantry, but whatever she called it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like. It's like working 100% so
far. Yeah, 100% so far.
Bravo. I'm like, bravo. Play it fucking straight off.
And then we find out that apparently they Googled one another. Which
yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
I can understand how she did, because she could probably look up Robert Chef New York City and probably get there. You know what I mean? Maybe put in the place that they're at.
Was.
Yeah. How the fuck did he Google her? All he knew was her name was Sophie.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
And it's not like she would have been, I don't think she would have been on the guest list because it was a plus one ticket. It's not like, you know what I mean?
The only thing I can think of is he Google searched the main chick.
Vale?
The one that, no.
Uh-oh.
The one that she's helping out. What?
Daphne.
I wanted to call her Wanda, and I knew that was wrong. Daphne, and then got Valentina, and then went through Valentina to find Sophie. But that's
maybe
the only way.
Yeah, maybe.
But she did say her name was Sophie, though. So maybe he Googled Sophie. But that's weird.
Yeah, because it's like he didn't know she was a photographer.
No.
He didn't know her last name. No. So it's like, how do you Google that? Blonde named Sophie.
Now like I'm calling Creeper Card on this one. Because I hadn't actually thought that far into it.
Yeah.
but I'm calling Creeper Card on him. And I know I say it, I've said it like the last three episodes in a row, but I'm really calling Slut Card on her.
Why?
Like, she's made out with like four different guys in the last three episodes.
But again, you can't slut shame her and not Ted. Because Ted does the exact same thing in the season that we are currently doing.
I mean, that is fine. When we go back to How I Met Your Mother, I will completely slut shame Ted.
Okay, good. Because that's 100%. I mean, dude was hitting on Stella the same time that the St. Patrick's Day party was happening.
Not to mention the girl that he got the tattoo from, which was right after the whole Robin thing. Like, that's like three girls in a month, man.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there were more in between there.
Oh, yeah probably.
I'd have to go back and double check. But
oh, man.
Dude, yeah.
I will say this. Trying not to go off on a How I Met Your Mother tangent right now. But even though the website was set up at Barney's discretion, Ted Mosby as a jerk.com definitely deserves some Ted Mosby actual documentation, because Ted is a jerk. Especially like the one he breaks up with on her birthday twice.
Uh-huh. I gotta say, I don't know if we should do it or somebody should start a site called the real Ted Mosby is a jerk.com and go through the show.
God, yes.
And actually give us all the examples of why throughout the series.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, somebody,
a lot of them.
If you got the time, put this site together. I'm just like, it would be awesome.
You got the money, we got the time.
That's right. There was another thing that they talk about that I wanted to mention, which I thought was hilarious. While he was Googling her, he found a video of her falling into a sinkhole on Cinco de Mayo. And she apparently went viral because of it. And it was hashtag Sinkhole de Mayo. And I want to see a flashback of this. I need this.
I was hoping that they're going to show us a flashback of it.
Yeah.
Which is really funny, though, because that means somewhere while we were getting drunk on my birthday, she was falling in a sinkhole.
Yep. I really, really hope that somewhere down the line we get a flashback of that.
I hope so. I hope that's awesome. Not the last time we hear that story brought up.
Yeah, we need more,
especially
guys.
Since it has they such teased a special us. Name as Sinkhole de Mayo.
They teased us with this, and it's like, oh, you got to give us more. Come on. Like, you got to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I don't get more, I'm going to be really pissed off.
Yeah. And so, like we had said before, you know, Jesse realizes he wants to be with Sophie, and he's going to try at the exact same moment that she's making out with Robert.
She's making out with Robert, man. And I'm
it's like, and like we said, man, timing is such a bitch. It's like we wanted it's like, ah, fuck.
There are plenty of times in my life where I can say that I'm fucked because of timing.
Yeah.
You meet somebody and you're like, oh, man, if I'd have only met them sooner, or oh, if I could go back in time and have had this moment be different.
Yeah.
We've all had them. Though.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Fucking Robert. Come on.
Fucking Robert, man. And we're going to see him for at least the next couple episodes. I believe.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know if anything's going to specifically happen, because for those of you who are watching this as we put them out, the next week, well, this coming week, you know, from when we're recording it and everything, from when you guys would watch it, is the two-part finale of, well, two-part mid-season finale, I should say. So we will be doing a double episode for the next one, episodes episodes 10 and 11. And a certain somebody is returning.
Yeah.
The one, the only Mr. Barney Stinson is coming back in this. Yeah. So we are going to see my assumption is we are going to see the like the fruition of that scene from the end of the first episode of the season where we'll also see him.
Scene from the trailer where they're at the bar and they're talking about the old guy she's dating. And then he like leans in and kisses her. He's like, I'm the old guy she's dating.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to these two episodes. And then there will be, from what I understand, in like an 8-week break.
That's a big break.
Between this and then the next set chunk. So then we will be finishing up season 3 of How I Met Your Mother during that time.
Hell yeah, we will be.
6 episodes left in that, so.
Yeah. And then we're probably going to take like a couple week break on that, so that we're going to make some changes for How I Met Your Mother season
4.
Yeah. We're going to try to do a little revamping, and we got some stuff planned for that. So stay tuned for that.
Oh yeah, it's going to be good. So before we go, John, what were your overall thoughts of the episode as a whole?
Oh dude, like I said, this was quintessential How I Met Your Mother. This show hit me in the feels. Like I leaned on this one and I was like, "Okay, where is it going? Okay, that was funny, but wait, there's more." And I was like, "Oh my god." Not sure how I feel about Robert yet, but I do definitely think that it's going to be an interesting story, especially since we know for some reason Sophie has a feeling it might be her father, which is also weird.
This is going to be interesting to find out why, how that comes about, but I'm fascinated to find out.
I really like this one. I thought this one was fun.
Good. It's a fun episode. Yeah, I think they've done a fantastic job this season of really punching up the How I Met Your Mother of it, and just really giving us like top notch episodes. I think honestly, the top 3 episodes have probably come from this season. I really think so.
Like season 1 though didn't get a fair shot considering they only got 10 episodes.
They had to
tell a big story in 10 episodes just to make sure they could come back for.
And they had to set season. They had to set up a lot of stuff, the way they would do the show, the characters. There's a lot.
Yeah,
and I mean that happens with a lot. I mean, we've talked about how the first season of How I Met Your Mother, it's not the best. It's got some great stuff in it, but overall, it's not like top tier. Anything, and that happens with a lot of shows. A lot of shows, their first seasons,
I mean,
aren't great.
Scrubs is one of my favorite TV shows. I have literally watched that show more than I've watched any other show, including How I Met Your Mother. In season 1, when I start the show, I usually start season 2 because season 1 is just so dry.
Yeah,
it is setting up so much crap.
Both The Office and Parks and Rec, their first seasons are rough to get through.
Yeah,
and thankfully, they're both only 6 episodes.
That is true. It's understandable why The Office is so dry, though. It's an adaptation of a British comedy. And the first episode is literally a shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, but it's rough. It's rough to get through for both of those. So, like, I understand. But I think they did a great job with season 1. But they've blown season 1 out of the water with this season so far.
They have. Season 2 has definitely stepped up the game.
Yeah, every episode I feel like I'm watching How I Met Your Mother, and like I get that warm feeling that from watching. I don't know how to explain it, but
said it during the last episode of How I Met Your Father. This is another episode where like you could literally pull out this cast, take the How I Met Your Mother crew and put them into this one, and the storyline still works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's... I understand How I Met Your Father is a different story. It is a different it's a different incarnation of what How I Met Your Mother was, but it's the same purpose. It's the story of how somebody met somebody. We already know that who that person was in the first episode, but we just don't know who it was yet.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't think I would have liked the show if it didn't feel like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
So like that's what I wanted from this show. And they're giving that, they're delivering that every time now. And so I hope that they can continue to and just ride it out as long as they can. So I'm excited to see where it goes. Yeah. I'm excited for it. But, I think that's all I've got. If you got any other thoughts, if not, let everybody know where they can find you.
Well, I'm not a hard person to find, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to find me, you can hop on Twitter. My tag is right here. And if you're not watching, it is simply Sane J1. I have a link to my podcast, which has a link to my blog. Well, it's a link to my blog, which has a link to my pod. No, it's the podcast to the blog. Please check it out.
It's in there somewhere, folks.
Somewhere, people. Literally, though. If you want to check it out, feel free. I am working on a new episode of Simply Sane. My podcast, I should have something up within the next couple of weeks, maybe. I'm going through a transition period right now of some personal shit, so I'm working on it, but I'm not 100% sure when it'll be, but please feel free to check it out. If you have any questions, please hit me up on Twitter. I'm always there. If you want to go find me on Facebook, I mean, I'm not a hard person to find. Reach out. Let's talk. Let's have a discussion. Get to know me. I swear I'm a nice guy.
All right. you can find me on Twitter at Movie Blog Merc. That's the Twitter page for my site, Merc with a Movie Blog. If you are keeping up with my site, I actually just put up some stuff for a friend of mine covered a Stranger Things parody musical called Stranger Sings. He did a review of it and an interview. So go check that out on MercWithMovieBlog.com. Those are over there right now. And if you are watching this podcast on video, you are on the Merc with Movie Blog YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that like button if you like what you're seeing. Smash that subscribe button. Click that little bell, wherever that fucker is.
And when you click that bell, don't forget to set your notifications to notify you when we drop new content.
That's right, folks. Get those notifications. The ding dings. The ding ding, motherfucker. Ding ding.
Who are the Whoop-Ass Fajitas?
That's right. And if you are listening on audio, you can head over to anchor.fm/lastcallhim and leave us a voice message over there. We'd love to hear your beautiful voices. You know, leave us questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got. We want to hear it.
And if we fuck something up, then tell us.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we've had people do that before, so let us know. You know, it happens. We'll talk about it.
Have you been hurt in a car? Then call William Attar. 444-4444.
There you go. Now send us our checks, William Attar.
He owes us at least $3.50 right now.
That's right. Give me $3.50, you Loch Ness monster.
$3.50.
And if you are on Apple Podcasts, please, you know, if you like what you hear, leave us a 5-star review. And, you know, we will read out, if you write something with it, you will read it out on air. I still don't know if Spotify does written reviews or not. If they do, I don't know where to find them. So if anybody out there knows that answer to those questions, hit us up on our Twitter page at Last Call, HIMYM. As well as on Instagram with the same handle at Last Call, HIMYM. We do have a Patreon, so haven't heard back from anybody. I'm assuming you're just not interested, but that's okay because we'll still pump out this show nonetheless.
Yeah.
But if you are, let us know. Patreon, we'll get some extra content up there for you. I got some stuff hanging around that we could probably cobble together for a couple of things. And then we'll just start doing some cool shit with you guys. We'll talk about all kinds of weird stuff. Hell, doesn't matter. Yeah, but I think that is all I've got for him, man. What do you got for him?
Got this great story about this time we met the Loch Ness Monster. I think it was July.
August.
Oh, it was August. No, that's for another time. But tell you what, you don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
All right, catch you next time.